This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your girl K-Dot. Welcome to Ripple Effect. Thanks once again for joining in. Shout out to all my supporters. It's really getting crazy out there. You guys are really showing me a lot of love, and I promise I'm trying to keep up with all the inboxes and all the messages and everything. But anywho, I thought I would jump back on today and talk with you guys about a lot of football stuff. I mean, some NBA as well, because we seem to have some front runners in regards to the MVP race. I mean, between Ja Morant, DeRozan, Stephen Curry, I mean, we gotta make mentions. We gotta talk about them, see what's up. But more importantly, football, January playoffs starting. Wild card race, who's in, who's out, or what do teams plan on doing in the offseason, or what are some prospective players plan on doing in the offseason, like Russell Wilson, because there's a few landing spots I can see him at. Two teams come to mind. I'm sure you can think of more, but off the rip, I'm going to say the Giants, not because I'm a fan, but because I know at one point he was considering the Giants until the Seahawks got him again for an extension. But I think he's tired over there. I think the whole Pete Carroll, you know, relationship that they have over there, I don't know. I don't think it's the same. It doesn't look the same. The Seahawks aren't that same team. There's no Legion of Boom. Even the offense is not clicking on all cylinders how we're used to seeing with DK Metcalf and Lockett. It just doesn't look the same. Unless they plan on making some real moves, either on defense, maybe switching it up. I don't know if it's the offensive coordinator. But another team I also had in mind about where I would see Russell Wilson going to is the Cleveland Browns. I said it. A lot of people are probably like, don't they have a quarterback? Yeah, they do. But if you're the Browns, are you 100% sure that you are sold on Baker Mayfield? Now, there's a lot of different sides to this. It's not just a quick decision. We can definitely hash it out, talk it through. Let's take it slow, right? Let's take it slow. Baker Mayfield, averaged at best. I believe I've said that. Even though everybody wanted to blame Odell Beckham Jr. because some people are just easy targets, and I can understand that. But yet, you know, OBJ scored a touchdown in every game he's played in with the Rams, his new team, but whatever. Cleveland is just way too talented on the defensive side of the ball to not be making the playoffs. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Not to mention, I get, you know, some injuries here and there. You know, not to mention COVID protocols and, you know, I get it. But at the same time, it's like, come on. You know, between Steve Stefanski, I mean, somebody's got to have some accountability here, and not just Baker Mayfield. So, like I said, Baker's averaged at best, you know, I think he can win you some games. I don't think he's going to lose you some games, you know, but don't expect him to make plays to win you ball games. And I mean win in terms of being a contender, especially when you're talking about ultimately competing for a Super Bowl. I mean, that's kind of the whole point. So if you don't believe that Baker Mayfield is your guy and you have somebody like Russell Wilson on the market, are you really willing to wait and to see how it all plays out? I don't know. But it is a question that the Cleveland Browns need to ask themselves. Me personally, I'm not going to wait. I know Baker Mayfield is looking for that deal. You know, that that Dak deal. And I don't know how the Cowboys feel about it, but I guess it depends on how this season plays out for them and how far along they go in the playoffs if they ultimately don't win a championship. So, I mean, because like I said, guys, this is what this is all about. It's Super Bowl or nothing, especially if you have a team built like the Cleveland Browns. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, what more else do you need? A quarterback, right? I think that's what's missing with Cleveland. You have a run game. Wait till Kareem Hunt gets back and Bradley Chubb. Your guys are set. Your defense, Myles Garrett, like, even though the defense can, it needs a little work. I don't know if it's like a gelling thing, a chemistry thing, but Myles Garrett, you already know what you're getting out of him. But I feel like if the offense were to produce more, the defense isn't asked to do so much. Therefore, when they are on the field, they can produce. And that's ultimately what you're looking for. So when I mean about accountability, and we're looking at Steve Stefanski and all the way, even all the way up, because, you know, GMs, they put together an incredible roster. The GM for the Cleveland Browns, he did. But at the end of the day, was Baker Mayfield hurting the Browns by staying in as starting quarterback? And remember, he's been hurt since week two. Week two. We're now going into week 18, and he's just now sitting this game out and having surgery. Because you already know, players want to play, right? But it's not their job to assess their play and to figure out how many minutes they should get or how much they've earned. I'm sure they're going to have their opinion, but at the end of the day, that's the job of the head coach. So I wonder if it does have something to do with the GM that did pick Baker Mayfield first overall, you know, and you feel some sort of obligation to push him out there, to stay him out there. He says he wants to play. He says he's telling me he's good. We're getting reports back from the doctor like, yeah, he's injured, but, you know, this is something he can play with because, as you know, in the National Football League, guys are injured all the time. All the time. They play with injuries. Especially, I mean, we're at week 18. I mean, you point to a guy who says that they don't feel any type of soreness or injury or aching at this stage in the game. I'm sure everybody would say that they're injured, but nobody's going to tell you that because they want to play, right? There's a lot of incentives on their contract, not to mention these guys are professionals. They made it all the way to this level. Nobody wants to sit out at this stage in the game. You worked very hard, especially in the offseason, to get to this point. I mean, you got to play 3 years in college to get to this point. Nobody's just going to sit out, especially when playoffs come around. Like, that's ridiculous. So it's easy for us to just say, oh, it's totally on Baker Mayfield, right? They should reconsider whether he should be there or not because he made a selfish decision. All players make selfish decisions. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I think in order to get to that level, you kind of have to believe that you can do the impossible. And hopefully that at some point you can either match that or, you know, somewhat live up to that. That's the kind of the whole point. Are you always going to reach that at all times? I mean, no. You ask these professional athletes all the time, who's the best player? They're going to say they are. Because that's the type of mindset you have to play with in order to even get to that level. If you doubt yourself just one time, that's it. You're probably getting cut because you're mentally, you're in your head. You have to just believe that you're the best and go out there and prove it. Every time, push it. Live up to your potential. So that's why it's got to be interesting. I don't know why now that they're deciding, okay, instead of why even playing this last game? I mean, if you guys seen the Steelers game, I mean, he must have gotten sacked like what? I don't know, 4 times? Oh, no, I'm sorry. He got sacked like 8 times, I believe. I believe 4 of them just came from TJ Watt. it was brutal. If Baker Mayfield was already injured, that was just brutal. But he said he was just trying to do the best he could, right? He just laid it all out there for his team. But they did have Case Keenum. Are we going to argue how how better Baker Mayfield is in comparison to a backup like a Case Keenum. Let's say if Case Keenum did start right after his injury, let's say week three, how would this picture look? Would it look the same? Or would the Browns be entering the playoffs? Not by any stretch of the imagination trying to say that these guys would be Super Bowl contenders and watch out. No. But would they be in the hunt? You know, for a playoff spot? Or maybe stick to the run game, defense is on fire. Who knows? But if you knew a guy was injured and was possibly going to need surgery all the way from week two, you decided to keep him in. You kept saying that this is our guy, no matter the inconsistencies. You got rid of, or he decided to leave, Odell Beckham Jr., a wide receiver, a guy that is a nightmare for a defensive coordinator. Because even if he's not getting that many touches, which is I understand why he left, I mean, he still needs to be guarded. He still needs that attention. You know, zone coverage ain't going to do it. Man coverage may not even do it. I mean, that's how much of a talent OBJ is. And then you have Landry out there. I mean, you had Kareem Hunt, you had Chubb. I don't feel like with all that talent, it just wasn't managed properly. I believe that's what it all boils down to. And depending on guys' circumstance, maybe some guys just have to sit there, be quiet, and just deal with it. You already know what happened to Kareem Hunt. He started off with the Chiefs with a great career, promising future, great back to have on a team. Until he has some off-the-field issues, right? Out the league for a little bit, then dealing with injuries, then came back. You know, Browns picked him up. It was looking promising, right? But here's the thing, though. When you get yourself into trouble like that, you're a lot more reluctant to speak up because you kind of feel like these guys did you a favor. You know, the reason why you're even here. So you're kind of just lucky to be on this team. It doesn't mean at some point he won't get fed up and it won't speak his mind. But I'm just thinking, logically, maybe he doesn't feel like he's in that position to. So ultimately, he has to keep his mouth shut. Everybody knows who's in control. I'm sure that they did have, you know, back and forth meetings and figuring out if Baker Mayfield really is our guy. And I don't know. Because even with Stefanski's post-game interview, it was nothing definitive. It wasn't Baker's our guy. He just said, yeah, he's injured. He's getting surgery. A reporter asked a tough question about his health and how it was, you know, week two when he was actually injured and why now that they're just saying that he needs surgery and it's going to sit him out for week 18 when they could have done this a long time ago, possibly had more of a chance for the offense to get used to Case Keenum and maybe not lose as many games as they did, maybe based off of some of Baker's inability to do certain things because he is injured. It just makes all these questions are going to have to be answered at some point. But I'll also give you this. What were the Cleveland Browns before Baker Mayfield? I mean, but then we can say before Myles Garrett, before Stefanski, right? Before Bradley Chubb, before Kareem Hunt. Even Odell, because he was a piece of that puzzle. Oh, and Landry. You can't forget Jarvis Landry. So there was a lot that went into this, but ultimately the quarterback is the leader, right? He gets all the blame. He's the guy that also gets all the praise. I do believe his confidence in not only himself, but in the team and his leadership did overshadow his talent. You ever seen somebody with so much confidence, so much bravado, that they kind of just make you believe in whatever it is that they're saying? Could be crap. But you just believe it because you're just like, man, this guy is so confident, like, you, he must be right. You know, it's just one of those things, and that's a great quality to have. Don't get me wrong. So that's why it's like Baker Mayfield is a part of the Browns' success, you can say. Because let's be real, they did make the playoffs last year. He wasn't injured last year. The Browns wasn't winning any games. Would it take them like two seasons? What was it, like three seasons ago? They weren't, what were they doing? They weren't winning any games. Nobody was talking about the Cleveland Browns besides what a mess they were, right? Everybody had all these jokes. I mean, that's what they were. They were a joke. You know, even with the whole Johnny Manziel fiasco, I mean, everything, it was just laughable. And then you draft this guy named Baker Mayfield. You make all these draft picks. You make all these trades. The GM did a phenomenal job. The roster looks good on paper. But at the end of the day, you got to produce. And last year, they were close. You know, who knows what would have happened if OBJ wasn't injured. I know they got to the playoffs without him, but let's be real. When you're in the playoffs, you're going to need every weapon you can possibly have in order to contend. So that's going to be the question that the Cleveland Browns need to answer. Is Baker Mayfield the solution? Are they giving him another year? Are they going to wait for his shoulder to heal and try to figure out exactly what's going on? Or are they just going to say, Baker, thank you. We appreciate everything you've done. We're not giving you that big monster contract that you're looking for. We're going to have to go in a different direction. Russell Wilson's interested. We're going to go with him because we believe that we can win with Russell Wilson. And we're not just talking about winning a few games and getting to the playoffs. We're talking about actually winning a Super Bowl. But we'll see. That's going to be the question that they need to ask. And hopefully have some answers. But let's see. Let's get into some MVP talks. NFL season is just about over. Season finale is coming up January 8th and 9th. It's the last chance to grab them spots to see what's going to be going on. That Cowboys-Eagles games is really going to be a game that's really going to allow us to see what the Cowboys are really about. I don't think the Eagles have anything to lose in that game. But I do believe the Cowboys do if they lose. This will be the time for Dak to put all those rumors, all those slum talks to bed. Because I know that must be annoying for him to have to keep hearing that week in and week out just because he has bad games and here and there. Dak is a real leader. I'm sure he will find a way and hopefully not force things because a lot of his throws have been off. So we definitely have to wait and see how that's going to play out. But as for the MVP talks for the NFL, I mean, it's clear that it's between Tom Brady. I mean, 44 years old. This guy is a machine, really. And Aaron Rodgers. Jonathan Taylor, sure. I would love to put him in that conversation, but he's not quite there yet. He's had a great season. You know, but there's been a lot of guys who've had a great season. You know, Chase. I mean, but when you break down the two quarterbacks, when you look at Aaron Rodgers and you look at Tom Brady, you're just in awe out of both of them. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' ability to do so much more with less. You know, he doesn't have the amount of weapons that Tom Brady does. Tom Brady's pretty much stacked. You know, so of course, you know, he has more yards. But Aaron Rodgers, man, when you look at his numbers, when you look at his touchdown to interception ratio, I think he only has like 4 interceptions, something crazy like that, or like 36 touchdowns. It's just unbelievable. The accuracy, you know, and how he's only had a handful of pick sixes in his entire career. I wouldn't be surprised if he repeats. I would definitely go with Aaron Rodgers, just just based off of that alone. I mean, the guy is definitely playing out of his mind, but I will commend Tom Brady for staying focused. I mean, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, man. He's staying focused even after, you know, AB's antics, you know, whether you agree with his antics or not. I mean, just to stay focused, keep the team, you know, just riding the ship, making sure everything is good. You know, still coming back to win a game. I mean, but Tom Brady's shown us time and time again. If you remember that Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons, man, the way they came back, I mean, it's just unheard of. So this is nothing for him. I mean, would they be mad if they gave it to Tom Brady? No, but if you're going to ask me, everything that Aaron Rodgers did, I mean, we got to talk about on the field, not, we have to definitely put things into perspective here, because I know a lot of people don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers because of his off the field stuff, but we're strictly talking on the field. His ability at the quarterback position, it's been pretty remarkable. So that would have to be my MVP. Just based off of that alone. I mean, it's just the eye test. If you watch him, you know. And also, guys, before I forget too, another quarterback that may be on the market, and it's going to be pretty controversial because we don't know all the details, so we can't be so quick to judge, even though I know you may want to. Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's just so crazy how we can be talking about a guy nonstop. And don't get me wrong, I agree. If everything that they say about what he has done is true, then he deserves exactly what he gets, you know, and hopefully the law will find him. But if a lot of it's not true, maybe some of it can be blown out of proportion. You know how the media is. They jump on things, don't know necessarily the entire details, and then you have the court of public opinion jumping in, and all of a sudden we're ready to crucify the guy without even having all the details about what actually happened or what transpired. But I say all that to say this. If he is available, is that another option for the Cleveland Browns to potentially look into? Or, if the Cleveland Browns do decide to move on from Baker Mayfield and actually pick up Russell Wilson, the Seahawks may be in the market and may be looking, not to mention the Giants. Just thought I would bring that up, give you something to think about, because even though the playoffs are going to be fun, and we're all going to be watching, and we're all trying to figure out who's ultimately going to win the Super Bowl, the offseason's pretty fun, too, because it's always interesting, especially when you have these big-name quarterbacks on the market, and you want to see how they can literally change a franchise. Because at the end of the day, no matter what the Cleveland Browns do, they still have to give their thanks and their appreciation to Baker Mayfield because of everything that he's done to change around that franchise in the respect of making them relevant. They're actually in the conversation. And also, the Steelers, after winning that game against the Browns the other day, I mean, Mike Tomlin, dude is incredible. If you really wanted to make him coach of the year, you know, almost every season, I'm not going to say every season, but he deserves a lot more coach of the year than we give this man credit for. You know that man has never had a losing season. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. I don't think you heard me. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. He doesn't know how to lose. That's one thing. Like, I am a Giants fan, but on the low, the Steelers always have my respect with the Rooney Rule. The fact that they not only gave Mike Tomlin this you know, that opportunity and ultimately hired him. I mean, man, imagine passing up on a guy like that. Props to Mike Tomlin, man. I mean, nothing but short of amazing. I mean, just that, just based off of that alone, I mean, but I get it. The Tennessee Titans coach, I can see him getting coach of the year, but I don't know. That's pretty impressive to me, never having a losing season. But we can't forget number 7, Big Ben. Same draft class as Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers. I mean, it's like the end of an era is gone, huh? That was back in, what, 04? It's so amazing because, you know, Eli Manning retired a couple years ago. 2 years ago, actually, in fact. It's kind of hard to remember with everything going on with the pandemic. But Phillip Rivers as well, you know, both retired. So it's now it seems he... It's not definitive because he didn't come out and exactly say that he was, but it was an emotional night. And he made it seem like it was going to be his last time playing in Heinz Field. And the crowd gave him a warm reception, well-deserved, too. I mean, everything he's gave to Steeler Nation, black and yellow. I mean, some of the best fans that you'll ever, loyal fans that you'll ever see and meet. You guys really ride for your team. Respect that. You know, Big Ben, number 7. No matter what he does in life, I'm sure he's going to do well. Good luck on your retirement. We've all been saying it, and I know when guys are just not playing like they used to and we're so quick to say, oh, man, this guy needs to retire. He needs to just go away, like just be gone. You know, you just want to stop. You know, even when Michael Jordan was with the Wizards, you know, you don't want to remember that, right? We like to remember him with the Bulls. But the point is, and then when they actually retire, you're like, man, we're not going to see Big Ben no more. We're not going to see number 7. You know, so I say all that to say, man, appreciate some of these guys while they're here. I had to learn that lesson too, but, you know, you heard it here first. You can learn now. Appreciate guys while they're here. Big Ben has had a heck of a career, Hall of Fame career. You know, and we probably already just seen his last game. But hopefully in the near future, we'll know definitively if that was his last game as a Steeler. And they got to move on. Mike Tomlin still did exactly what he needed to do because the Steelers really needed that game in order to still be in the playoff hunt. And guess what? He made it happen because that's what winners do. Dude is just not capable of losing. Anyway, guys, that's all I got for y'all today. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I know I always do. Like I said, shout out to the new supporters on Spain and France. Guys, love y'all. Appreciate y'all. You know how to reach out to me if you have any questions. I always have questions posted. Stay engaged. Let me know what you guys are thinking about a lot of these things. And if you do, I still have more prizes and fun stuff to give out. Stay tuned. We're going to be videoing soon. I promise you. It's a new year. We're definitely still taking it up another level. Things are in the works. I just got to get the team together. Stay safe. Stay cool. I'll see y'all later. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.